I'm sorry. I can't take it anymore. Sorry. Please make it stop. Someone please put him out of his misery.
Settle scores quick. Our disaster recovery requires even more discs. Put your bites up, prove it or you forfeit. Got my C64 and we blew it into orbit. M Bison with 8 straight perfects. Overvolt emotions make hate break circuits. In case you heard, it's a name fake service. Optimize our runtime to escape.
It's Thursday, November 12th, 2020. Episode 028. You are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, my good friend Joe. Joe, how you doing today?
I'm well. And yourself?
Doing well. Can't complain.
Good. Very good.
Yeah. So,
it's been a week.
It's been a week.
Some adventures and misadventures. Thrill, yeah, chill.
Yeah. We'll get to this later on, I guess, suppose, but I'll be honest. I'll tell you right now, in this this kind of in between that we're in with the election and everything, I've pretty much just put my head in the sand, and I've not been listening a whole lot to.
Wait. Brian C. Newman. In the sand.
In the sand. I like it in the sand.
Yeah, that's not the Brian I know.
Well,
if Brian just disappear and, you know, just not be involved in stuff, I don't believe that.
That's true. But you know, we know that the news that we're getting from all sides right now is all probably going to end up being bullshit. So
all sides.
Everyone's got an agenda, and I just so yeah, I'm just kind of we're going to talk about the election and everything, but for the most part, I'm really just kind of waiting until it's all over with, and then someone tells me who the president is, and then we'll go from there.
Well, I guess I'm interested because, like, I think this, like, is the longest amount of time where you haven't heard anything from Trump since he's been president. It's like you just don't hear anything.
That's interesting. I wonder. Well, there's, and I'm sure everyone has a theory on why that is. Probably half America thinks that he's, building a bunker or something, that he's not going to leave. He's
cooking up some plot to take over the America.
Right. And then, but then you ask the other half, and he's getting ready to, announce all the indictments and send half of all of the deep swamp to Leavenworth for the rest of their lives or something like that. Everyone's got a theory on why he might be so quiet, but I would agree that. Like I said, I haven't been paying attention, but if you tell me that he's been quiet for a week, that is very un-Trump-like.
Yeah, I heard something that said that he was thinking about, like, just declassifying a whole bunch of the shady, the shady dealings of the past.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm all for that, man. I want him, if he ends up losing, I want him to go scorched earth, and release everything, and then I want him to pardon Assange, Snowden, Manning, Chelsea Manning. Mm-hmm. I want him to just all of that. I just want him to go nuclear.
I'm surprised he didn't say pardon you for your speeding ticket.
You think that's too much to ask?
Nah, why not? As long, you said swinging for the fences, right? Scorched earth,
brother. I'm sneaking to my mailbox to just waiting to see that letter. I don't know what to expect, but I guess if Kentucky is going to do something with my license, that they'll send me. send me a letter. It's like, you know, surrender your license, or
maybe they might send you a letter of jubilee. Like, you know what? Under any other normal circumstances, we'd have your, you know, have your nuts in a sling. But, you know, because of this is the jubilee season, you know, here's 6 points.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I'm also waiting for that letter from State Farm telling me that my rates have tripled.
We're not gonna give you some degenerate insurance.
Wow. So yeah.
Something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, something to look forward to. You know what else to look forward to, Joe? It's been a while, but we have the return of my soundboard.
Yeah. I mean, do we have a name for the soundboard?
Not really.
I mean,
but
he could be a or it could be a show co-host.
Well, we need a we need to come up with a name for him then.
Millions of listeners, please let us know.
What do we name this our tablet that I have over here? Yeah. Well, but you know what that means.
What does it mean, Brian?
Motherfucker. Give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
Oh, the original's back, Joe.
I like the original.
Yeah. So, what'd the bartender bring you tonight?
Bartender brought me something.
Let me guess. Some rum and something to mix with it, right?
You are totally incorrect.
What?
None zero at all. Shame on you. You didn't think you called me out for rum last week, and then I come back with rum this week, did you?
Maybe
you
just
forget,
like,
with whom you're dealing.
Maybe you're just being defiant. Yeah. Say, it's my rum, and I'll drink it if I want to.
I do have a defiant streak, but yeah, we got to keep them guessing.
Yeah.
So today I'm having, it's a bit of a different combination. It's a grapefruit juice and tequila. And tequila has tequila is one of those flavors, that, you know, there's a reason you cut it when we're taking it as a shot with lime and salt. It's it's one of those drinks that kind of beats his chest. It doesn't play well with others, so to speak.
All right.
But it's good.
It is good. I have, of course, me being the alcohol entrepreneur that I am, or not entrepreneur, the aficionado, aficionado. That I am. Those are two really fancy words that I'm really proud that I was able to get them out without tripping over my tongue. So,
anyway. But you did.
Did I?
No,
we'll have to go back to the tape.
Like, roll tape.
Sure. Roll tape. Anyway, I found a restaurant. There's a Mexican restaurant that I can get through DoorDash that will deliver. They will sell 32 ounce margaritas in big plastic cups. And
nice.
Yeah, and quite.
But how much? How much? You know, how much of the good stuff, and how much, you know, fillers is in it? I mean, is it truly leaded, or is it, like, you know?
Yeah.
Your little sister's drink.
Well, after 32 ounces, it does the job. I don't know. It's got it tastes pretty tequila-y, but I don't. I know it's. I mean, I know it's a mix, and it's not a real margarita, but, you know, it'll do in a pinch.
In a pinch.
Yeah.
Like, so, cool. Well, good deal.
On my my continuing
beer saga.
Beer saga. Adventure. Yeah. So this one, I picked this one up, and this is from from Taft's Brewery, which apparently is. It says it's from Cincinnati.
Nice.
I guess I the only really Taft, you know, there's the Taft Theater in Cincinnati there, but I don't know if this was any relation or not. But anyway, this is from Taft Brewery. It's called Maverick, and it is a chocolate porter. Now, I'm not big on... I'm kind of a traditionalist with beer. I've already claimed that I've kind of shunned the whole hoppy IPAs that around. And but anyway, I'm going to give this one a try.
Yeah, I was about to say, did you just call yourself a traditionalist and then went on and got a chocolatey beer?
Yeah, I tell you, this is the exception to the rule. How's right. that?
You know, it's one of the things where you hear something like, "Wait a second, I didn't hear that, did I?"
So I'm not positive what to think or what to expect. When I was in North Carolina a few weeks ago, this guy I met, I didn't meet this guy. We worked together virtually, and we met up for a lunch at his place.
Fast Eddie's, right?
Fast Eddie's on Lake Norman. But he ordered a coffee stout, and I tasted it, and it's pretty good. It was tasted like coffee.
Yeah,
so
I'm
just curious.
You're gonna have to explain that to me.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, this beer tasted pretty good. This beer tasted like coffee. I just, you know, I'm trying to wrap my mind around a carbonated beer tasting coffee, then I'd be like, yeah, that's what I want to drink. But
well,
I mean,
keep in mind that these porters, like a Guinness, there's of all the beers, they are not super carbonated. They're just dark and kind of thick for a beer.
All right. Have you tasted it yet?
I'm getting ready to right now.
Yeah, you're a better
smell. Doesn't smell like chocolate, but it doesn't really smell like beer either.
Okay, we got dead air.
Yeah, it tastes it just tastes really like a dark stout to me, with maybe if there is any hint of chocolate, it's like of a really dark chocolate on the back end, maybe, but yeah.
Alright, so on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it?
We don't do scales of 1 to 10, remember? Our scales are 1 to 4. Would be 1, I hate it. 2, I don't like it. 3, I like it. 4, I really, really love it.
Right.
And I would give this a 2, I don't like it.
Oh, man, you're stuck with it. I mean, yeah, that's got to be a hard realization when you know, one of your six cans, but five, you know, unique beers, and one of them, after the very first sip, you don't like. Hard living, if you
but
ask
being
me,
the
Ryan.
But being the alcohol connoisseur that I am, you know, I'm going to drink it.
Well, yeah, if you didn't, that would just be alcohol abuse. And Ryan, that's something that you can't, you won't countenance.
Not Brian. Brian does not abuse alcohol.
Not at all.
In the least.
At all. My man. All right. So what do we have on tap today?
Well, before, as always, we want to thank our YouTube listeners. If you're out there. I don't know. I sometimes wonder if you are. But if you are, thank you for listening. And we'd ask you to like this episode, share the episode far and wide, and again, as we've told you, subscribe. It doesn't cost anything. Just click subscribe. It's free. No skin off your back. And
I honestly think we make the people who listen to the show better people.
I think so. Yeah. I do. I think the service we provide is invaluable, but we don't charge for it.
Yeah, we might have to reevaluate that. You know, we may be I mean, we both have good hearts, but Come on now.
Yeah. This is America. You don't do shit for free.
Yeah, it's not America. America.
And with that said, like we've been doing from the beginning. Yeah, speaking of America, what we've been doing from the beginning and arguably what this podcast was grown out of.
It was
like one of the first things we really dug into, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the Ahmaud Arbery case down in Georgia. If we find updates, we bring them to you. And I found an update. Apparently, they're in court. This is from today. They're in court, and I guess the defense is trying to play down the role that racism may have played in what happened.
Wait. Somebody's cast the accusation that these guys got in their trucks and ran, drove and shot down a black man in cold blood. They said that was racist?
Apparently that's what people are claiming.
I mean, wow, what is this world coming to? 2020 really is, you know, the worst of all worlds.
This has been a fucked up year.
Well, I mean, but not for us, you know, directly.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But you look around and it's like the world's gone crazy. But I digress. Questions about whether racism played a role in the killing sharpened during a previous hearing when an investigator testified that a third defendant who took cell phone video of the shooting told authorities he heard Travis McMichael, 34, utter a racial slur after he blasted Arbery 3 times with a shotgun. Did we know that? 3 times with a shotgun?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
That might be excessive.
Right. I think so.
In the courtroom Thursday, today, Zachary Langford, a friend of Travis McMichael's since boyhood, testified his friend was a jokester who got along with everyone and, dun-dun-dun-dun, had at least one black friend.
He thinks. Maybe.
Then prosecutor Jesse Evans asked Langford about a text message Travis McMichael had sent him last year that used a slur for black people when referring to a crackhead with gold teeth. I don't know if it's crackhead N-word with gold teeth or what. The way this is written is confusing. But anyway, Langford at first said he didn't recall receiving the message. First of all, this is just stupid. They're not going to ask you about that don't have it cocked and loaded. So
People preparing to, you know, to go and perjure themselves, you know, if they ask you a pointed question while you're on the stand, assume they have it in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Not this genius.
Yeah. Yeah, so Langford first said he didn't recall receiving a message. Then, after viewing a transcript of the exchange, he answered he was referring to a raccoon, I believe. Wow. Now, is that... I don't know if that was... That is arguably worse than the original text message.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's assuming that everybody... under the sound of his voice, stupid.
Yeah.
As if someone was conducting a mass IQ test and trying to see how many people would fail.
Evans also cited a photo Langford posted to Facebook last year To which Travis McMichael replied, "Sayonara," along with an offensive term for Asians, followed by an expletive. Langford said he didn't recall that either. Now, what's not in the article is I wanted the prosecutor to show him proof of it and then see how he tried to, what excuse he came up for that. Because I'm not sure what's an offensive term for Asians.
I could think of several.
Okay.
One that begins with C and rhymes with ink.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, I guess they're also, the brothers are requesting, they're trying to get bond.
Brothers.
Yeah,
father and son?
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. The father and son, yeah. They're trying to get bond. The mother testified that the boy lived with her and his father, had a 4-year-old son, and doesn't have a passport. His attorney cited his past service as a U.S. Coast Guard mechanic as proof of his character. In no way, shape, or form is Travis hateful towards any group of people. Nor does he look on anyone based on... No, it says here, based on anyone based on race, religion, or beliefs.
I think that's, you know, he's not, you know, he doesn't look down on anyone unless he's, you know, running them down and blasting them with a shotgun. That's probably what they mean.
Or if they're, you know, or joggers. He definitely doesn't like joggers.
I'm surprised he didn't say, like, you know what, you know, the McMichaels, they just hate exercise aficionados, or they were, you know, they were concerned that he was spreading freaking COVID, so they had to, you know, respond. And actually, that was about COVID time. Sorry, right before it actually.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they probably would have had a more credible argument if they were like, yeah, these guys are just rabid, lazy people, and they just hated the sight of guy going out and getting exercise. That probably would have been more, you know, believable than, yeah, you know, coon, that doesn't he would refer to a raccoon.
Right.
Court, I don't respect your intelligence. Okay, great.
The McMichael's attorneys are also asking the judge to reject the indictment's malice murder charge, saying it was written in a way that improperly charges two crimes in one count. They made a similar argument for tossing out a charge of criminal attempt to commit false imprisonment. And Brian, that's the third guy that took the cell phone video, was previously denied bond. His attorney has argued in court motions that the entire indictment should be dismissed.
To which the judge laughed him out of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. As I understand it, the judge hasn't ruled on the bond yet. Says he doesn't have enough information, and that they're going to continue this tomorrow.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
And regarding George Floyd, we looked. And as far as we know today, there are no updates. And so we are still on the case, but nothing's floating to the top.
Yeah, I didn't see anything either. Well, as we talked about earlier, the election, of course, is still happening. You know, I didn't realize until I read this, I seen it somewhere. And this is just makes me not look forward to. But apparently, the Bush Gore saga dragged out until December 20th.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wow, we're only November 12th right now.
Yeah, so this thing needs to be wrapped up by Inauguration Day, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know what the I don't know what the federal rules are. I mean, I know that each state has their own rules about results, returning results, and everything. But I don't know.
Talking about the election thing, let's take a little. I don't want to say a deep dive, but let's critically examine what happened. Okay. So, you know, we had the election, and all the votes come in, and people were counting, and X, Y, and Z, and people, individual news organizations have declared winners. So CNN declares, okay, we're going to call this race for party A, we're going to call this race for party B.
Do they do those based off of exit polls? Did they stop doing exit poll stuff?
Yeah, I don't know about exit polls. My understanding is that they all pretty much follow the AP, or a lot of them follow AP, Associated Press. And what Associated Press does is they're looking at a bunch of statistical past information. So okay, who did this county go for last presidential term, and how many votes are still outstanding, and the counting who's ahead, and from there they do some magical statistic stuff and come up with a calculation by which they're like, okay, well, when X, Y, and Z happens, we're gonna call for one party over the other. And so I imagine there's a little bit of wizardry and magic in there, but nothing that I've heard where they come out and tell you exactly how they do it. But,
right.
So you have a bunch of news organizations calling it, but the news organizations projecting a winner isn't any more official than me projecting a winner. If that
right.
makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So, exactly.
I mean, it's one of those things where people take these news organizations' projections far more seriously than they should. The thing we really need to be putting our eye on is, I believe the event is on December 12th, when the Electoral College meets and casts their votes, the votes that really matter. And so I think that's important because I don't know about where you were, but the weekend after the election, you would have thought that we had elected Jesus Christ to the President of the United States. Because literally,
A lot of people were happy about that.
In D.C.?
Holy crap. I'll bet.
Yeah,
I can only imagine.
Yeah, D.C. went 93% for, Clinton, and, probably, 93-94% for Biden. And so, literally, people were in the streets. They were, driving around, honking horns, and celebrating as if something good had happened to them. So, but it was kind of cool seeing everybody, seeing all these folks just giddy in the streets. But if, it's one of those things where you say, okay, if this were a normal politician, you'd expect for him to, oh man, I lost this election, and now it's time to, hang my head and go call it a hole. But we're not dealing with a normal politician. And so it's just kind of ridiculous that people reacted that way.
Right.
And so one question I heard that was put very well, if the IRS shows up to any large business that has a lot of moving parts, very complicated, and they say, hey, we're going to look into your taxes, crack open the books, what are the chances that the IRS would find something that was a problem?
Okay.
On a scale of, 100%, 0% or 100%.
Sure, sure.
What would you say?
They'll 100% chance they find something.
Exactly. Okay. And so when Trump, the person who's convinced that he won, goes and looks into, the vote counts for, let's say, Pennsylvania, Georgia, the places where he thought he should have won, what do you think are the chances that he's going to find some fraud?
there's absolutely going to be fraud.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I mean, there's a 100% chance that he's going to find some fraud. The question is that fraud sufficient enough that it would have made a difference as to, you know, the outcome of the election, right?
Yes.
Right. And yeah. Now, what do you think about that question? So the first part you said yes to, he will find fraud. Mm-hmm. There will be fraud to have been found. But the second question is, will it have mattered?
Well, there's fraud. We hear about fraud every election, and mm-hmm. it never seems to matter.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like something's different this year. And maybe it's just my, and I'll admit it's, maybe it's just nothing but my perspective, but this election, just from what I watched and what little I've been following, it just doesn't pass the smell test with me. Something seems wrong.
Right.
And, everyone thought that there's just no way. I mean, do you really believe that Biden got more votes than Obama?
I've heard somebody, make that point. Well, like, wait a second. Like, Joe Biden run for president now 4 times, never making it very far. And now all of a sudden now he's the most, most loved, most voted for popular politician in the history of the United States. Under certain circumstances, I could see why he would have such a high vote total, because so many, there was so much hate out there. And so when passions run high, people show up.
I wish that the polling, the election night results and everything had just went on and proceeded like they had done every election, but when certain states that are critical just come out and say, well, we're just going to stop counting now. And that's never happened before. It doesn't seem right. And I'll tell you what bothers me or scares me the most or worries me the most and should worry everyone is what they can do with, this the software that runs the election results. And
you're opening a can of worms that I'm not totally familiar with. Please say a little bit more. What software? What are you referring to?
Well, there's that. We hear about that Dominion. I don't know if that's the name of the software or the name of the company, but it's Canadian. It's a Canadian company, and several states used that software for their election results.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there's been questions to the, there's been like all these or as the media reports it, glitches reported. And I don't know, it's just, and that's another thing. Whenever there's a glitch, it happens, it 100% always benefits Biden.
Well,
but that's beside the point. I want to say something about software.
Well, before you, presumably, if there really were, 73, 74 million people who came out and voted for Biden, it makes sense that if there was a glitch and they figured out what the glitch was and Biden actually had more people, it would make sense that it stands to reason that he would be the benefactor of such a glitch.
I suppose so. I won't argue with you.
What?
But
are you okay, man?
I'm just, I guess I'm just kind of indifferent about it now. But and that's not to say that I don't care. I do, but things are so beyond our control nowadays that for me to get too upset about stuff like this is...
It probably just serves to raise your blood pressure for no real good reason.
Right. But I do want to say... I think that all... Especially software, computer software that we trust to do things, the most important of things in America, which, you know, these calculate and manage voter, you know, vote tallies. Also, software like that should be open source, without a doubt. And for people, and I know that a lot of time, even technical people are misunderstood about what open source is. Open source doesn't just mean that it's free. Open source means that you'll hear people say free as in beer. What is it? It's open source. It's free as in free, not free as in beer. It's like but anyway, the whole point is open source software, the source code for that software needs to be public. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. It needs to be published. The source code needs to be published on somewhere on the internet. And just because your average talking head on the news networks couldn't read it and make sense out of it, there's a lot of smart people out there who could go through and vet the code, and it would put so much more trust into this code instead of them giving us this black box where it's basically votes go in, vote tallies come out, and we're not allowed to know what went on inside.
Well, I mean, what are some of the things that could happen about, you know, with this software? I mean,
if the software was compromised, if someone were so inclined. And I'm not saying that this happened. I'm definitely not saying that this happened. I'm just saying that, I mean, this is where machine learning is a big thing. I mean, it could, you know, if all of a sudden, let's say Trump lost 30,000 votes, and then all of a sudden Biden got 30,000 votes, obviously something's going on. It's like a sore thumb. You know, it's an obvious problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know, software, and it doesn't even require machine learning. A hack coder like myself could come up with some sort of an algorithm that sneakily took and distributed votes in a way that wasn't obvious, but resulted in a favorable result. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just you can.
But,
you know,
but don't can, I mean, was it, wouldn't such an exploit or, you know, such a hack be detectable?
Well, how would you detect it if you can't access the source code? Then you have no way of knowing. You can theorize on what's going on, but unless you have access to the source code, there's no way to, you can't verify it.
Oh no, but I mean, let's say, you know. Let's say, you know, yeah, there were instances where, oh, there was a glitch, and now all of a sudden...
First of all, we're not allowed to... Idiots on the news use the word glitch.
All right, well, what's a better word?
Well... Okay, you're allowed to use the word glitch because, but people who are reporting on this, when they say glitch, they're either saying we're too dumb to understand or you're too dumb to understand. I want to know what the problem was. Don't tell me that there was a glitch. Tell me what happened. But whenever the stuff like this is talked about, on the news, it's always reported as a glitch. So anyway, as you were saying, if a glitch happened, what?
Well, I mean, I won't use the word glitch, I'll use the word anomaly. So if an anomaly were to occur whereby Joe Biden ended up, you know, getting a mysterious 60,000 more votes than Trump did, that anomaly would be something that we could, you know, identify, right?
You would think, yeah.
Well, under what circumstances could such an anomaly, anomaly occur where we could not detect it?
No, I mean, I guess if you're saying that the 60,000 votes just suddenly showed up, yeah, that would be an anomaly. Yeah, that would be an anomaly.
Yeah, and such an anomaly would be detectable in the code, right?
Well, you would be able to see the condition that led to it.
All right. So, I mean, I guess my point is that, you know, if such a glitch slash anomaly, I like the word anomaly, it's just kind of hard to get out of now. My thing is like, and I kind of like this way about, you know, dealing with, I wouldn't call it like conspiracies, but questions, legitimate questions, if you will. If there was an anomaly that affected the vote count, we'd be able to find something in the code. I'm assuming that there'd be some trail that there are mad geniuses out there, but there aren't, they're not, able to pull the wool over all of our eyes at the same time. That's what I'm assuming.
Right.
But I could be wrong, and that would be, terrible. But, okay, cool.
But again, it's proprietary. We don't have access to the code, so, they say, no, there's no way to verify any, you can suspect it all you want, but again, I don't know. Like we said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
And that is the case.
Yeah. But let's assume right now that Biden or Jesus is president. I got some clips for us that we can check out.
Like clip time.
Yeah. this is Kamala. I don't know if she had to wake Sleepy Joe up to let him know what's going on or not, but
We did it, Joe. You're going to be the next president of the United States.
Someone get her a refill. She needs a refill.
You're joking. Where do you get that clip from?
I got the clip from No Agenda Show.
Is that like somebody, like an actress, an impersonator?
No, I think she was just a little on the sauce a little bit that night, celebrating.
That's a good sign.
You're questioning the authenticity of the clip. Interesting.
I'm not questioning it. She just, you don't expect to hear the vice president elect, drunkenly celebrating. You just don't expect that.
Right. It's fun though.
We did it, Joe. You're gonna be the next president of the United States.
I'd like to see the video of that. See what context this was in.
For some reason, her laugh irks me.
Well, I mean, if the primaries were any indication, she irks everyone. She was like one of the first out, wasn't she?
She was out earlier than anyone would have suspected, given her, her sizable financial lead and her debate performance. Mm-hmm. You remember the time when we actually played that where what Kamala said about Joe Biden?
She chopped him down.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like
it was vicious.
It was brutal. And then, like, a couple weeks later, she's like, "Yeah, like I'm all part of Team Joe." And the crazy thing is Stephen Colbert. You know, the comedian, I think NBC or CBS, yeah. There's a video of him asking her about that. He's like, "Hey, you wiped the guy out. You knocked him down. I think she said, like, his teeth were all over the floor like chiclets."
Oh, Okay.
And then she's like, "Well, yeah, that was a debate."
Wow.
And at first, when she said it, I thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, that was a slip, and now she's going to clean it up. But she said it at least two or three other times. And so the idea, I mean, what I was left with was, yeah, I said that stuff, but I said it because, you know, I was in a debate, and my job was to tear him down, and I could work with a guy. I didn't mean any of it. And so that only further, cemented in my mind, you know, that she's not to be trusted, and you know.
Yeah, that's not a good thing to admit on television.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, had Colbert been a more credible interviewer, he would have taken her to, I mean, he would have, you know, followed that up. Right. Like, what do you mean it was just a debate? I mean, you didn't, you know, you don't really believe that. You were just saying it to, you know, score political points. But, life is what it is, and he chose not to go that route, so.
Yeah. I got another clip here. This is Van Jones on CNN. Yeah. This is a two minute clip. I don't know that I can listen to it. So
let me grab some. I mean, you said Van Jones. I know I need some friggin' Kleenex, but yeah, let's hear it.
Stop me when you've had enough.
Van, sure. What are your thoughts? It's easier to be a parent this morning. It's easier to be a dad. It's easier to tell your kids character matters. It matters. Telling the truth matters. Being a good person matters. And it's easier for a whole lot of people. If you're Muslim in this country, you don't have to worry if the president doesn't want you here. If you're an immigrant, you don't have to worry if the president's going to be happier to have babies snatched away or send dreamers back for no reason. This is vindication for a lot of people who have really suffered. You know, the I can't breathe. You know, that wasn't just George Floyd. That was a lot of people that felt that they couldn't breathe. Every day you're waking up and you're getting these tweets and you just don't know. And you're going to the store.
Someone please put him out of his misery.
Yeah. You made it a little over halfway, so kudos.
Yeah, I mean, do you know anyone who? Do you know anyone who was like woke up every day during the last what, 3.5 years? So like, oh my god, you know, how am I going to explain to little Timmy that the President of the United States is doing? Yeah,
I'm not positive, but I almost think that he said something, he done a similar thing in 2016.
Oh yeah, he did.
After the Trump election, when he was talking about how do you tell your kids something or other, but I don't know that I have ever felt that much emotion about anything in my life.
I know I felt very emotional about things. Mm. Okay. When friggin' 9/11 occurred, I felt really emotional about that. But I didn't cry.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's like, come on, you know. You're just crying on command. I'm sure there will be our listeners who will think, oh, he was just overwhelmed with joy. I mean, what's he overwhelmed with? I mean, why is he so joyful? I mean, you know, either way, his kid and his mortgage was going to get paid, no matter if it was Trump in the White House or Joe in the White House or Biden in the White House. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if no one wants to hear what, you know, crying Van Jones has to say when another Democrat's in the office. And so, I mean, maybe he was really crying about that, is that, you know, he might be getting his walking papers, because, you know, who cares about what a washed-up Obama advisor says when there's another Democrat in town? He's just going to be cheerleading. Yeah.
Ooh. It's a take that I hadn't heard before.
Word? Well, I think it was a tape. It was a take that was inspired by this tequila. Because I saw that. I mean, I've seen that before, and I'm like, oh, this is just, you know. Like, yeah, grown men on TV crying always are suspect. Yeah, unless they just got finished witnessing some tragedy, you shouldn't be moved to tears by,
Wow. Now I think that's kind of profound. There, grown men crying on television is suspect. Should always be looked at with suspicion. That's pretty accurate, really.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Remember how John Kasich, the governor, or I don't know, something from Ohio.
Governor.
He was governor. Yeah, he was always crying.
Yeah. No, not John Kasich, John Boehner.
Oh yeah, Boehner. Sorry, yeah. Kasich. Boehner.
Yeah. He was always crying.
Yeah.
He was always crying. He also had a very strong tint of orange. Trump must have had the same,
spray tan person. Yeah.
But, Chuck from, New York, Chuck Schumer. Mm. He cried. Remember,
he gave a pretty emotional, press conference not too long ago, was it? Was he talking about people dying from COVID, or
I don't recall about the most recent one, but I remember him crying over like the kids in cages or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And I remember like Donald Trump was like, yeah, I know Chuck Schumer, and he only cries when it's necessary, or or for camera, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do we got here? Jake Tapper. He's talking about Jake Tapper talking about the Trump's kids.
His spawn are out there putting out tweets that are just, that have warning label after warning label after warning label, because they're all untrue. And it is increasingly apparent that it's kind of like a fish like flailing on the deck of on a dock, where it's just like it's they're breathing their last breaths.
Yeah, his spawn and flopping around like fish dying, and they're breathing their last breath. Very descriptive, Jake.
Yeah, a little morose. But hey, what do you think about that? The fact that now social media, or elements of social media, are pretty much becoming publishers.
Yeah, they. Yeah, it's.
I understand the sentiment. We don't want I understand the sentiment. You don't want people just going out, just spreading this just wild, crazy, accusations that are dangerous, but at the same time, I don't necessarily. I guess I don't always trust the official fact checker, so to speak.
Right.
So, just how you say, if you attach the word conspiracy theory, automatically, delegitimizes whatever it's attached to. Mm-hmm. I think if you can follow the same logic with this. Some of the things Trump may say are clearly and demonstrably false, but oftentimes there are nuggets or elements of truth that you wouldn't pick up on if you just wholesale denied everything he said, if that makes sense.
It does.
I'm not comfortable with the the official fact checker guy. I don't trust that guy.
Here's where a lot of people think this is going to lead. There's a Right now, I can't. I don't know if it's 2:30, 3:20. I don't know what the number is, but there's like a a guideline in the Federal Communications Act, I believe, that was instituted, I don't know, a decade ago, maybe more. I don't know. It was when these social media platforms were really starting to ramp up, when Facebook first opened up to the public, and when Twitter came along and all these platforms. And what this ruling did was it exempted them from being able to be sued for the things that other people, that their users posted on their site.
Yeah, that was Section 230.
Okay, 230. And so because if all these small companies then, the Facebook when it was still small and Twitter when it was just starting out, if they were sued, if they were just constantly being sued for the things that their users were saying on their platform, they'd have been out of business. They'd have never made it.
So I mean, do you think it's time to start flexing muscle and more aggressively regulating Facebook, Twitter, and the like? And this is a crazy piece here. So here you have a conservative and element of the conservative people from the right calling for more government intervention, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, I'll get to that. But one other thing I want to say about this is the problem now when they're talking about taking that exemption away or that protection away is, you know, the Facebooks and the Twitters and all that are big enough now that they can deal with that kind of stuff, but it's going to end up hurting the new companies today starting out. The new companies that don't have, that don't, if these new companies don't have these protections to take advantage of, then they'll never,
they'll never be able to grow. Speaking of new social media companies, are you familiar with Parlay?
Yes.
Can you enlighten us as to what it is?
I believe that it's just a, it's a version. I've never used it, but as I understand it, it's kind of like a, I don't know if it's like a clone of Facebook or a clone of Twitter, but it's alt tech. It's an alt tech version of the mainstream social medias.
Yeah, my understanding was it's a conservative. A conservative Facebook with no moderating, none of that.
I think what's interesting is I don't know that it's exclusively conservative. It's just it's not biased. It's not anti. I mean, I bet you that liberals could go there and create accounts as well.
No, well, let me step that back one half step. It's not a bastion for the it's a bastion for people who feel excluded from Facebook.
Yeah,
that might be a better way of putting it.
I believe that for sure. And there's others. There's Gab. There's even more than that. I mean, there's even like people can. I think it's called Mastodon. People can set up Mastodon servers and. You know, like I could set up a Mastodon server for just my friends and family, and you know, it's there's all kinds of alternatives out there, but it's those alternatives that are going to suffer if that Section 230 thing is just revoked entirely. Now, to the question about what I think about regulating companies like Google and Facebook and Twitter and I think you almost have to look at them as a monopoly. I mean, for a lot of people, that's what the internet is. The internet is Facebook. The internet is Twitter. The internet is TikTok.
Poor bastards.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just, and so if that's what they think the internet is, and just think about how easy it is if they only get their news from these few sites, then that could explain a lot. I think something needs to happen, man. I think something needs to happen.
Anyway, if something happens, I'm sure it'll come across their desk.
Yeah, keep an eye out for it.
Any other clips?
Yeah, I've got a few more that we can bust through real quick, but right. I know we're. So I don't know what the time is, but
it's like 10 o'clock on the dot.
Yeah, we've been doing this for 1 hour and 20 minutes, so. That's after the pre-show.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought, okay.
Right? No.
We started like a...
Okay, no, I'm sorry. We're at 1 hour and 2 minutes. Math is hard, people, and I graduated from Fairfield Local.
Yeah, and what do you do for a living again?
Yeah, you know, just programming. Math has a little bit to do with it.
Yeah, you're like, it's only ones and zeros. How hard could it possibly be?
Exactly, right? I can count to one. What do we got here? So we got some more Jake Tapper. What's he talking about? Oh, time to bury Caesar.
It is time for Republicans to start praising Caesar and preparing to bury him, both.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny, like... I know me, I oftentimes want to just have something on in the background, and you know, it's like TV or radio, and for the longest time it was just having CNN on, but it, you know, CNN is kind of like, it's kind of hard to sit through sometimes now, or oftentimes now, and besides the, you know, the crying, you know, I don't want to sound like an animal, so I won't.
That says a lot, man. That's interesting. Anderson Cooper.
Well, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this from a president of the United States. And I think, as Jake said, it's sad and it is truly pathetic. And of course, it is dangerous. And of course, it will go to courts. But you'll notice the president did not have any evidence presented at all. Nothing. No real, actual evidence. Of any kind of fraud. Talked about people putting up papers in windows. He talked about things that he'd seen on the internet. That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And you see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over.
What a terrible image.
People, CNN loves that imagery though, don't they? Dying sea life.
Yeah. Bunch of bass? Oh, awful. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you can paint a picture with your words, you've done a lot of work. Everybody and their mother can imagine a turtle upside down.
That turtle imagery was even better than the fish flopping around, gasping for breath. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they have like a. Kind of like the meme generator, but for
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet you that there are memes out there with inspired directly from that comment.
Terrible.
Now this next one is Rahm Emanuel, and he's talking about. Well, I truncated this down, but we'll listen to this clip, but. Yeah, we'll listen to the clip, and then I have a few things to say at the end here. But this is Rahm Emanuel. I think he's talking about the Biden White House.
And there's going to be people like a JCPenney and other retail. Those jobs aren't coming back. Give them the tools. 6 months, you're going to become a computer coder. We'll pay for it. And you'll get millions of people to sign up for that. They are not going back to parts of the retail economy, and we need to give them a lifeline to what's the next chapter.
Teach them to code. Everybody's going to be – everyone, teach them to code. 6 months, and they'll be code. Did he say 6 months or 6 weeks?
I think it's 6 months.
6 months. People will be coders. And there's just – I remember – I don't know when it was. It was back during Obama, but – the Obama administration, but there was this big initiative to, teach, get people to code, and we need to get girls into coding, and everyone needs to code because, your jobs that you're used to having are gone and they're not coming back, so you need to code. And for one, I being a coder, professional coder, I kind of take offense to the idea that in 6 months you're going to be a coder. Just because you can write a Hello World program doesn't mean that you can write real software. But anyway, I don't know. It's just interesting when they said that we'll just teach you to write code, and don't worry about You can't do your JCPenney retail job anymore, but you in 6 months we'll teach you to write code and you can do that.
But yeah, chances favor the guy who, I mean, this is not to sound elitist or pejorative, but the guy who's working at JCPenney's, probably wasn't much for coding. Yeah. I mean.
Well, that's the thing. Coding, you have to. Maybe it's just me, but I love all programming really is you're solving problems with code. And you have to love to do it, because it means sitting in front of a computer for long hours staring at computer code, and you compile it, you run it. If there's errors, then you go back and fix and rinse and repeat, and you do it. That's what you do all day. And
yeah, I don't know how you haven't blown your brains out.
Yeah, it's not like it is. I mean, if people aren't drawn to that kind of a thing, you can't tell them to just go learn to code and you'll be fine. And because if you're not, and that's why you can't. It's just a mindset, and if you don't have that mindset, You're not going to be successful, and you won't last.
It seemed like computer coding would be like the equivalent of finding a needle in a haystack when you have a problem.
It's like that. Okay. Sometimes it's like that for sure.
Yeah. I brain blown all over the office.
So it's just
drywall.
It's funny to me that
carpet and everything. Sorry, you're saying.
No, we're talking about imagery. CNN ain't got shit on Joe High, man.
Not tonight.
So I just wanted to make that comment, kind of defend my profession a little bit. I should have played this earlier because I didn't realize that I'd had this, but this is labeled Michigan GOP Chair Reveals Tabulating Software Glitch in 47 counties. So, okay, let's see what she has to say.
If all this wasn't enough, in Antrim County, ballots were counted for Democrats that were meant for Republicans, causing a 6,000 vote swing against our candidates. The county clerk came forward and said tabulating software glitched and caused a miscalculation of the votes. Since then, we have now discovered that 47 counties use this same software in the same capacity. Antrim County had to hand count all of the ballots, and these counties that use this software need to closely examine their results for similar discrepancies. The people of Michigan deserve a transparent and open process.
So, Yeah, but 6,000 would not have changed the election result in the state of Michigan, correct?
Well, no, but I don't know. Well, I don't know, but she said, but since she was also, what, she said 40, I don't
47, know. 47, like, something districts or counties. Yeah.
You know, but then, you know, I don't know, but if that happened to other places, that's the problem. Or maybe it's not a problem. I don't know.
But, well, I think, like we said last week, Trump isn't the type of guy that would take this type of stuff laying down.
No,
to underscore, I mean, kind of what we said earlier about the people dancing in the street, I'm like, wait a second, you guys, once again, are acting as if you don't know with whom you're dealing with. He's not the type of guy who they, oh, I guess, you know, the media called it, so I guess I just better start packing my stuff. I don't see that as being his likely response. And so I'm quite literally waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Yeah. When he comes out of hiding, right?
Out of hiding.
Okay, so let's move on. I feel all icky talking about politics.
Yeah, I need a shower.
But you brought to the table, you know what I like, man. The murder hornets are back at it again. I haven't read this article, but it's about murder hornets, and so. A nest of massive and potentially deadly invasive hornet species. I wish I had like the you know, Darth Vader's music whenever Darth Vader comes on stream. Exactly. I need to have that in the background. What'd you say?
Oh, I love that music.
Oh, yeah. It feels like I need to have that in the background when we're talking about murder hornets.
But you were saying?
A nest of massive and potentially deadly invasive hornet species in Washington State likely isn't the only one in the U.S. A team with the Washington State Department of Agriculture that destroyed the first discovered nest in the U.S. found about 500 hornets at various stages of their life cycles in the nest, including approximately 200 queens.
So 500 of those things, and they're all huge. I mean, like just like ridiculous, like, you know, just like elephant hornets.
I wonder how much bigger the queens are. I mean, the queen bees are bigger than the other.
Yeah.
So I wonder if a queen murder hornet is just like
the size of a crow.
Yeah. Good God, man.
You can hunt them?
Yeah. You do. Yeah. You go hunting with shotgun, man. So, some of the queens could have escaped, mated, and formed new colonies next year had they not been captured. We got there just in the nick of time, said Sven Erik Svinkeiger, an entomologist with the State Department of Agriculture. However, other sightings of hornets around the area indicate that the team's work might not be finished. We do believe there are additional nests, he said in a virtual news conference Tuesday. When you see all, be in a relatively small nest like this.
That was a small nest? 500 of those?
500 of those.
Yeah, 200, yeah. That was small? Yeah, I think we should just, like, you know, wave the white flag, man.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
These hornets are serious.
A large nest would what? Take over like a city project block or something? A city block?
I'm thinking a city.
The whole city.
It is it's an invasive species, and so, I mean, we should take that word invasive serious.
For real. Asian giant hornets, officially named Vespa mandarina, mandarina nia, and nicknamed murder hornets in the media, are a species not native to the United States that can devastate honeybee populations, critical for crop pollination. However, the habitat in the Pacific Northwest is perfect for the hornet. I drew a picture of a murder hornet, Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
You should share, man.
I will share it. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, you know how we feel about sharing and caring.
Yeah, I wanted. It's not colored yet. I wanted to wait until I colored it, but I may not get around to coloring it. So it's just black and white, right? It's just black and white right now. But I showed it to my buddy Mike, and he was like, "That's pretty badass, dude." So I feel pretty good about it. When we're done here, I'll send it to you, and I'll put it up in the show notes of as well, if anyone cares to go look at it. But
I'm sure they will.
It is pretty. It's what I think a murder hornet, if you're serious about a murder hornet, should look like.
I mean, is your murder hornet packing heat?
No,
I'm sorry, I'm thinking about the gangster hornet.
A gangster hornet. No, this murder hornet, you're just going to have to see him. You wouldn't fuck with him.
Do you have a name?
Murder hornet. No, don't have a name.
Hey, murder hornets, you know, apropos.
But, yeah, I think you'll like him. I'll put that up for you when I can.
Are you afraid?
Not yet, man. They're still in Washington State.
Yeah.
First of all, they're going to have to deal with Antifa.
The murder hornets?
Yeah, right?
Antifa.
Oh my God, Joe. You're brilliant. I didn't even mean that.
Oh yeah, I thought there was like, you know, a contingent of ants who were resisting.
That is so brilliant, and I completely over my head, man. Wow.
It couldn't have been that far over your head if you knew exactly what I was talking about.
But it took a second, and when I said Antifa, I was talking about the actual people.
Groups. Yeah. I thought you were referring to them as pests.
Yeah. Antifa versus murder hornets. Showdown for the ages. That's awesome. Elon Musk, do you have any opinions on him? You like him, you hate him, what do you think, man? He's obviously a smart guy.
He's like the he's like a real life Tony Stark, just no Iron Man.
Yeah, not as good looking as Tony Stark, but yeah. I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, his mother is supposed to be like a model, right?
Oh, is she really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
His mother was a model and his father was an engineer.
Well, according to this report, he's a dick, too.
I buy and believe that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know. It seems plausible, but I don't really know. Did you read this whole article? I don't know that we want to sit here and read.
Not all, but we can.
But let's skip down through here and see if we can find out exactly why he's a dick.
I'll read the opening. It's not exactly a secret that Elon Musk, billionaire CEO of SpaceX and Tesla, self-proclaimed Thai pedophile expert and designer of deaf race trucks, doesn't give a flying beep about what other people think of his actions. Okay, well, that's a strong introductory sentence.
This person has an opinion.
Yeah.
I think we're going to hear it.
To wit, Musk has endorsed a sex cult system for ranking news organizations based on critical thinking, regularly railed against media orgs, and annually cut off journalists on earnings calls. Well, I guess he's not very nice to journalists, but I mean, who is? According to a new piece in Vanity Fair, sources say that after Musk 2019 win in a libel lawsuit brought by a Thai cave diver he had smeared as a pedophile, Musk decided in Trumpian style that he would stop pretending to play nice with his perceived enemies. Holy crap, he was playing nice? I mean, thus he severed ties with his external PR firm, stopped hiring for openings on his comms team, mass blocked journalists, and this month disabled Tesla's PR department. So he disbanded. So he just showed up and fired them all. One longtime employee told the magazine Elon is on his own communications director now. All right, so.
Well, you know what? I how I feel about the press, and so far I'm like, fuck yeah, go Elon.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one of those things. Well, what is that? So he's not being nice to journalists. Okay. So what? You know. No one really cares whether Elon hates reporters, but reporters. See, that's exactly what we said.
Yep.
But Vanity Fair sources said doubling down on absolutism of the self might not have been the best idea because he's kind of an asshole. All right. Let's see here. Per Vanity Fair, Musk staff fears days he arrives in a bad mood because he'll make arbitrary decisions that makes everyone's work life hellish. That's kind of what bosses do, though.
That's exactly what I was thinking, man. They're like, I mean, that's just kind of like what people are. I mean, bosses have more of an impact, but you know, shit. If I spill my coffee in the morning or something, and I'm in a bad mood, I'm gonna, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna project that in some way.
Yeah, the your underlings are gonna know.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the problem with being an underling.
Right. On SpaceX launch days, you have everyone at Tesla tuned in to see if the launch is successful. Not because we are vested in the rockets, but because it directly impacts Elon's mood for the next few days, the Tesla executive told me. If there was a failure on a launch, there'd be hell to pay. You didn't want to have a phone call set up with Elon afterward. On the other hand, if the rocket launch was successful, Musk's inbox would fill with budget requests. The same is true for SpaceX employees when new production numbers are set to be released for Tesla. Well, these fuckers are taking advantage of his good moods.
Yeah. And so you got to suffer with the bad, too. You can't, you know, you got to balance the giving with the taking, right?
Exactly.
You can't have, you know, have all, you know, have your cake and eat it, too. These guys. Let's see here. In 2018, Musk sent out a bad joke tweet claiming he was taking Tesla private as a share price at $420, the weed number, attracting an angry lawsuit from the Securities and Exchange Commission that he had forced to settle to the tune of $20 million fine and the loss of his Tesla chairmanship. As Vanity Fair noted, since the tweet, Tesla has lost more than two dozen executives, including three different general counsels, his directors, and his directors of engineering, directors of sales, directors of finance, operations, accounting, production, and recruiting. Musk also lost his chief of staff, Sam Teller, one of those departed executives specifically cited Musk's Twitter account as being too embarrassing to put up with any longer. Right. An unspecified former employee of Musk added that when he asked a tech magnate whether he even worried about losing his marbles, Musk responded, "Does a crazy person ever look in the mirror and know that he's crazy?"
You do not fuck with the stock market, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's...
That was a dumb move.
Yeah. Money. Mm-hmm. It's, that green paper, no jokes.
that was dumb.
Yeah, it makes me think, okay, if this guy is such a genius, why wasn't he smart enough to figure that one out? Joking about money.
According to one person who witnessed an argument between Musk and a former girlfriend upon leaving a club one evening, Musk aggressively railed against her, asking why she had hair on her face.
Damn.
Referring to the slight peach fuzz that everyone has visible under the bright light of the club's awning. "Because I'm a mammal," the girlfriend replied, which only pissed Musk off even more. Okay.
I wouldn't refer to myself as a mammal.
"There's a high level of degenerate behavior with Elon," one Musk acquaintance told Vanity Fair. "All these guys, I spent time with them, Musk, Zuck, all of them, they all exhibit tendencies of total and complete pathological sociopathy. They don't, at their core, give a flying fuck about you or me as individuals."
That sounds about right.
It does. That's that's a great... we're going to talk about that sometime? Psychopaths and the traits of psychopaths and...
We're thinking about doing that on the Halloween, but I think we ended up running a little alone because we had some.
Right. Yeah.
But we could still bring that up. I mean.
Well, that's an interesting. It's an interesting topic, man. Because I'm positive. I'm positive that they are all psychopaths. Trump's a psychopath. Obama's a psychopath. I mean, you almost have to be to be able to do that kind of job. You know what I mean?
You know, but it makes me think, like, you know, maybe instead of celebrating these people, like, after they get to, like, a certain point, we should just, like, you know, lock them away for, like, for the good of society. No, I'm serious. If you know how they say, like, you know, money doesn't change who you are, it only reveals who you are.
Right.
So if you're an asshole, you know, as a broke college student, what type of asshole could you be when you've got $1 billion?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's like, hey, you know what? Congratulations. You've taken a company to become from a startup to a multi-billion-dollar company, and after 10 years per law, we just have to lock you into a insane asylum for the good of the human race. It's an idea worth thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to, unless of course you're the CEO, the president of this operation, but I'm, so you can obviously override me, but I'm going to make an executive decision, and I'm going to, although I want to talk about it next week. It was the six things that millionaires do.
I think it
deserves more discussion than I think we have time for. So
you want to go to Skullduggery?
Well, let's talk about the Yellowstone fried chicken first, and then we'll do the skullduggery. So a man was banned from Yellowstone after trying to fry chicken in a hot spring. Go ahead.
You were saying, I'm sorry.
Well, I had heard this somewhere. I think I was listening to another podcast, but I was like in a state of like in and out of consciousness. It was at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard someone talking about this, but then I'd forgotten about it. But then when you had it in your list of topics today, it renewed my interest. So I mean, I've heard that people can, they talk about it in this here, how ridiculously hot these hot springs are.
Truth be told, I'm not even very sure why it caught my interest. I mean, I must have been hungry.
Well, maybe the visual. I'm curious the visual of it. I mean, what did the dude? What did the guy do? Put it on a.
Let's go to it. A man from Idaho Falls, Idaho, has been banned from Yellowstone for at least 2 years after he tried to fry chicken in a hot spring in the national park. A man who has not been named was found by park rangers on August 7th with cooking pots and two chickens in a burlap sack in a hot spring in Shoshone, Geyser Basin region, East Idaho News reported. Okay. So, I mean, this guy couldn't, like, you know, build a fire?
Probably take too long. I bet you they cooked quick in the hot springs.
Anyway, traveling through thermal areas is prohibited in Yellowstone due to the risk of danger and injury, and the man was cited for violating closure and use limits. He pleaded guilty in Mammoth Hot Springs Court on September 10th and was fined $1,200. He was also ordered to serve 2 years of unsupervised probation, during which time he'd be banned from Yellowstone National Park. Two others in the group the man had been traveling with were also cited by park rangers in East Idaho News reported. The status of their cases is unclear. Yellowstone warned people against getting too close to hot springs in the statement to the insider. The thermal areas are areas always stay on boardwalks designed for and designated trails, the spokesperson said. It's illegal to touch thermal features or throw objects into hot springs or other hydrothermal features. Water in hot springs can cause severe and fatal burns, and scalding water underlies most of the thin, breakable crust around hot springs.
Oh, imagine that. If you was walking in the whatever you was walking, the ground you was walking on just shattered, and you just dropped into this. Dropped into this, man.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I mean, I got to call BS because the last time I checked, if you put chicken in hot water, you don't fry it, you boil it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It doesn't sound tasty at all.
Not at all. Is that just hot water? Is that hot sulfur?
Yeah. Tourists have been fiercely injured and killed by hot springs at Yellowstone, which can reach burning temperatures and are sometimes highly acidic. Just last month, a 3-year-old was badly burned after falling into a hot spring-like hydrothermal area. Last year, a 48-year-old man was burned when he fell into the hot springs, and another tourist was killed when he fell into a scalding hot spring in 2016. I had heard of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, being boiled alive, I can't think about something that's much worse than that.
Yeah, maybe it was the same podcast. I remember when I was listening, and they was talking about this. Someone had told a story about how some guy and girl, obviously not aware of how hot this was, they was going to, like,
skinny dipping
or whatever, and and the guy jumped in and essentially the guy ended up in it, and essentially it's just his body just turned to gel.
You'd think that, you know, you could look at water that's boiling and think to yourself, you know what, Maybe I should dip a toe in. Perhaps jumping in it headlong, you know, isn't the, you know, the best idea. Like, with the same person that had seen, you know, a pot full of boiling water on a stove and thought to themselves, you know what, it's time to reach my hand in and grab that egg. I mean, they would have done that.
Right.
Why is boiling hot water in nature so much different than boiling hot water on your stove?
Good point, man. No argument here.
Things that make you go, hmm.
All right, and we're going to wrap this week up with...
Speaking of wrap it up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're going back to Florida because there's just so much rich comedy in that state.
It's full of Florida,
all
man.
All kinds of skullduggerish shit goes on there. A Florida man pulled a gun on a driver who told him he had a small penis, police say.
Well, part of me says, once you do something like that, pull a gun on somebody for saying that, you've pretty much confirmed suspicion, haven't you? Like, you know, if there was any doubt before, not anymore.
A Florida man has been arrested after police said he pulled a gun on a driver who told him he had a small penis. The alleged incident between Dustin Coons and Toby Keaton, first reported on by the Florida Keys Keynoter, happened on Halloween in Key West, Florida. According to a police report seen by Insider, 21-year-old Coons revved his Jeep's engine while stopped in traffic. And Keaton, who was in the car in front of Coons, got out of his vehicle to confront him. You must have a small dick, Keaton said to Coons, according to the police report.
He said, do I?
My girlfriend says it's perfectly average, I'll have you know.
She's lying. But... police say it was then when Coons pulled out his Smith & Wesson handgun. He told police he was trying to protect himself, that he didn't know what Keaton was going to do when he approached his car. Keaton told police that Coons pointed his handgun in his direction. He told authorities he feared for his life. Coons, who told police he did not have a concealed weapon permit for his gun, was arrested on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, carrying a concealed weapon, dealing in stolen property, and misdemeanor charge of driving without a valid driver's license. Posted a $32,500 bond and was released from county jail on November 3rd.
Imagine that. There was other... He had other... I just... Imagine, the gun wasn't legal.
Yeah.
He had dealing in stolen property, misdemeanor charges of driving without a license. So
this guy was riding dirty. I mean, so it's like, you know, I mean, he seemed like he was just dying to get caught.
Yeah. And you know what, and he's the kind of asshole that probably was in that truck that prompted me to have my little automotive outburst.
No, that would have been Keaton. Keaton was in the truck.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yeah. Keaton said to Coons, according to, you must have a small penis, Dick, Keaton said to Coons, according to the police report.
No, the small dude, because that, you know, the big, he was, I thought he was insinuating that the big truck, or the big loud truck, was compensating for the small penis.
Well, let's go back and get clarity.
You know, we're way too obsessed with this guy's dick, but I guess we got to figure it out now. Coons revved his Jeep's engine while stopped in traffic.
All right.
And Keaton, who was in the car in front, got out to confront him. You must have a small dick, Keaton said to Coons. So, yeah. That was, I think I was right.
Yeah. Settles that. Well, I mean, you know how they say certain things are just, you know, left best unsaid, just let certain things slide?
I am familiar with that, yes.
Yeah.
This might be one of them.
Yeah. This is one little thing where, being or keeping it real goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. A $32,500 mistake, to be exact. But
and it's probably not over for him either.
No.
That was just Bond, right?
Yeah, yeah. And guys that are, you know, that'll pull a gun on someone for that, you know, you can almost rest assured he's done something like that before. This is typically, this isn't the first or last time he'll do something like this.
We'll read about this Florida man again.
Yeah, we will.
Well, all right, people out there, if you're still listening, I'd like to thank you for hanging around. And you are cordially invited to join us right here in 7 days.
What's going to happen in 7 days, man?
We're going to do this all over again, man.
Awesome.
Too much fun.
Too much.
Joe, as always, it's been a pleasure.
A pleasure.
We'll chat later. Take care.
We'll do. Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm just waiting till my BlackBerry dies, cause I'll replace it with the Raspberry Pi. Don't compare to this track, it makes everything they said dull. Neutralize any threat, turn Red Skull to Devnull. They killed virus writers that we mentioned, but instead they ascended to the VX heavens to reincarnate as live wires. Still inside we hide ciphers and signed device drivers. Which school will we hit next? They didn't learn the format, so we've got a print F. Next step is a chin check. Freestyles that I spit best, they didn't decrypt yet. I crush internet MCs and rhyme battles. Get your Wi-Fi tackled, hacked by pineapple. I don't think you'll like my Snapple, cause I popped it with vodka and a cyanide capsule. We drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Got this vodka and this Red Bull, they still give me wings. So we drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things.
You know there's gonna be security, right?
First we drink all the booze, then hack all the things. Then backdoor the firmware on anything you bring, regardless of the hardware, service or encoding. Internet and someone's gonna own it. This is for the pirates to clap and love the sound. Attacking from the cloud, then we're backing underground. There's no masking from us now. We pop tornadoes around the globe, track and hunt you down. Packed on schedule, added to your calendar. Devices online, here comes another challenger. State infiltrated, so undercover. This is for my comrades who stare at the debuggers and trace every buffer. Examining the code flow, haven't been to sleep, better pop another no-dos. I think I'll need a planet-sized urn. Some men just wanna watch the world burn. Your turn.
We stay out of jail.
Technologically possible, yeah.
Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Got this vodka and this Red Bull, they still give me wings. So we drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. Drink all the booze, hack all the things. 0 through 3, we're in every single ring.
I mean, these servers have more firewalls than the devil's bedroom.